Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Joblogs, a podcast that features candid conversations with young professionals about work, life, and everything in between.
Welcome back to another glorious Monday.
Yes.
Welcome to Joblogs.
I'm Joy Marie.
I'm Courtney.
And we're about to conquer this week, y'all.
Yes.
We are so excited.
We are in it to win it with candid career conversations,
mm-hmm.
work life, all the stuff in between.
Your group chat, girlfriends. We're here. We're on your team.
We're doing it. And this week, we're inspired by one of my new faves that I shared last week, The Path.
The Path.
This one's not as crazy as the show. This is like your actual life. Although sometimes for some of us it might be. But, you know, there's twists, there's turns of how we all kind of reach our goals, our passions. And we're kind of just celebrating the unique uncertainty that
the
comes
journey.
To each other. Yes, honey.
The journey.
The journey.
I love it. I love it. So stay tuned for that. But we always start our episodes with a little check-in. We call it our clock-in,
yes.
where we just see how we're both doing personally and professionally. It's so important to do with your friends, so we recommend you do it as well. But Courtney, what's going on?
It's summer, so I am just doing all the things that I didn't have time to do.
Yes.
And one of the, I'm reading children.
Reading?
Not the drag
books.
Race kind, the book kind.
Novels.
Yes.
Books.
So my
it.
Goal was when school was over, I said I want to read 3 books this summer.
Okay.
And I'm on track and I'm so excited because
nice.
Reading is hard.
What are you reading?
I'm reading, the one I finished in June was Daughters of the Dust
okay.
by Julie Dash. I was...
Daughters of the Dust?
Yeah, by Julie Dash. I was drawn to this because she's known as like the mother of Black women independent filmmakers. And I wanted to see the film. Daughters of the Dust was like the first
was
independent film.
Was that what Beyonce's, one of her videos was inspired by?
A lot of Lemonade
that.
Has kind of that vibe.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
I love it.
Yeah, I wanted to see the film because it was like the first independent Black film in theaters.
Oh, really?
It's really hard to find, though. She wrote a book about it. I read the book.
Okay.
It's really great if you're interested in like oral history and like Southern culture. Really great read.
I'm going to add that to my list.
Then if you're really, like, nerdy academic stuff, I just finished We Are No More. That's by Abby Smith Rumsey. It's great if you work in the digital space.
Okay.
And it's talking about, like, digital memory. So we have all this information that we're accumulating. And it's like, what do you do with that? Like, how? What is society now that we just have at the press of the finger, you can know anything?
Yeah.
And the big takeaways that I love from this book is that, one, we've been through this before. Like, people used to be very overwhelmed by books.
Yeah,
like people were like, oh, my God, there's so many books.
So much. All
so
of this
we
text.
Got, right, we got through that. And I love this idea of protecting collective and personal memories. That goes into curation.
Yeah.
And it's like we have all this content. We don't really own it. So, like, you know, publications can delete. They can delete it at any
That's
time.
A good point.
So it's about saving these articles and videos because that really determines... like, what future generations view
so
us
So are
as.
You doing that? I remember we were talking about a movie, and you said you, or a clip or something, you said you downloaded it locally to your system. Do you
I
try
do.
To get in the habit of, like, saving things that you really
if
enjoy?
If I have, like, a hunch that it's going to disappear, I will download it and save it for myself.
Okay. I love that. That's good.
Because
I've been tinkering about on the internet since I was, like, 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about literally the file storage platforms I used to use have all evolved and changed. Like,
yeah.
I can't remember the names. There's like Boom Speed, and they've all gone away. So all of those files and pictures have gone away, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing that I really loved about it, she talks about how this is an opportunity now that we're outsourcing basically our memory and searching and retrieving information. The big thing in skills to develop to compete with computers that they can't take on is emotional and imaginative power. So your emotional sensibility, creativity, imagination, those are the really the things that are going to be
Computers
important
can do,
for us to develop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I love that. So I have a couple more things on my list. I want to get back into fiction, so I might try The Mothers.
That's my fave.
Yeah.
Fiction.
Yeah. I want to try The Mothers. I heard it's a nice juicy read.
Okay.
So we'll see, honey. Catch me on the beach with my novel.
A good book. I love it.
Oh, pro tip if you want to get more reading done. If you didn't know, your public library will allow you to download ebooks. So you don't have to, like, go out to the library. You download the app. You request it, and you can download it right then and there.
For free.
For free, children.
Wow.
Public service.
Oh, this is a game changer. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's, like, on the bestseller list, it'll probably be a wait for it. But if it's, like, some older novels that you want to check out. Or, yeah, I mean, you can get on the wait list for some of the newer ones. But,
nice.
Yeah. Because, you know, things are expensive.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's a great tip. I love that.
What about you, darling?
Well, it is summertime. It is anniversary season in my life. We are celebrating births. We're celebrating marriages and unions. My whole network kind of celebrates a lot in the fall as we end the summer and get into the fall. But it's been making me think about the importance of kind of being present for people in their life moments and, like, the life moments that they determine are important to them. So I think a lot of times it's easy for us to be like, girl, like, this is the third child. You know what
Real.
I mean? Like, I ain't buying no more presents for
Real.
You.
Pass it
but,
down.
Yeah, but for certain people, you know, it's gonna be births, it's gonna be marriages, it's gonna be professional milestones, and they get to determine that. But it's important as a friend and a supporter, and sometimes even as a colleague, to just show up and celebrate with people.
Yeah.
I feel like people really remember the moments and the people that they had around them years later as they celebrate these things. So just thinking about that, recognizing the importance of celebrating success. And then also, secondly, if you do, on the flip side, decide to take a role. So an easy example for me would be like a wedding party. So if you decide to be a bridesmaid or a groomsman or best man or best woman or whatever you want to call it, like, do your diligence, like, do your duty. Do your
Report
duty. Honor
duty.
Your commitment.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know, without getting into it, I just,
it's been names.
Without, you know, if you accept the responsibility, do the duty. It's just so many people find it so easy to, like, back out or complain about how expensive things are getting. You know, also recognize you could say no to a lot of those things.
Yeah.
Like, if you really don't have the resources or the budget or the time, probably more importantly, it's okay to say no or to say, I'm going to celebrate with you in a different capacity. But if you do accept that responsibility, then make sure to do it, and do it with a smile on your face, because there's nothing worse than, like, a grumpy maid of honor complaining every 2 seconds. So, you know, those moments are meaningful. They make such lasting impressions. Just, I've been thinking about just making sure to just be present and be excited.
Yeah, because I think especially we get caught up with, you know, oh, I just hit the like button and we've celebrated together. Or, like, those BS Facebook birthday messages. Like, there's no effort.
It's
like,
true.
We need to cultivate some, like, in-person gathering fellowship memories.
Yes. Celebrate success the right way. DJ Khaled voice. Hey, y'all. So it's time for Rants, Raves, and Reviews. This is the segment of the show where we each share a rant, a rave, or a review for, like, a product, service, tool, experience that's either enhancing or, you know, kind of destroying our professional lives. So, Courtney, we're thinking about things in this whole theme of, like, finding your passion, the path, you know, the journey.
Yes.
What are you doing today?
I'm raving about something that I was doing so well on for a good stretch of time, and then I forgot to keep doing it. And
okay.
I just realized I have forgotten. So I'm trying to get back on the horse with it.
What is it?
And that is affirmations. Starting your day with some positive affirmations.
Okay.
And I recall this because I was reading, like, sometimes I read, like, old journaling stuff. And I was in the passage, I was talking about like self-talk, which is basically how you talk to yourself. And sometimes you can, without realizing it, just be really negative with yourself and just like kind of have a defeatist attitude and talk things down before they even get started.
Like, oh girl, why'd you do that?
Yeah. And so you're kind of like that negative Nancy friend, but in your head.
To yourself.
Yes. So affirmation is kind of like brainwashing yourself to think differently. And basically, it's just declarative statements that you make. Okay. And it's kind of, you know, like, so goes, like, the tongue goes the mind. Like, you kind of go with action and speak this, and then your brain follows suit.
Okay.
So my tips for effective affirmations, darling. one, kind of think about areas you want to improve in. So if I know for me, I usually kind of overanalyze myself and I nitpick about things I want to change right now. So one of my affirmations might be like, I honor who I am. And just like kind of boost, like changing the way you think.
Let me ask, does this work? Because
I find that it does work because this is why it works, at least for me.
Okay.
Because I know when I get up, a lot of times I can get up with kind of like a sense of dread, like, okay, the day is starting. And then saying like all this positive stuff, it kind of takes me out of that autopilot.
I struggle when I see other people reading like affirmation cards and stuff like that. I'm just like, but I'll be honest, it's kind of like cheesy to me. When you say them, do you believe it? Like, are you really taking it in and believing the words that are coming out of your mouth? Or do you get caught in like just the reading of it and kind of?
Some days it's kind of just the routine. And some days I'm like, yes, honey.
Yes.
I'm reading this today.
Okay.
And I think it's just, it's kind of like a subconscious thing. Like, it can seem cheesy, but it's the same way as like kind of like the music you listen to.
That's true.
Like, that vibe
can
kind of get in your spirit. So it's just kind of like planting this idea.
Okay.
The fact that maybe you wouldn't be exposed to the fact that something really positive about yourself.
Right.
Just normally
going
through the day.
If you hadn't thought of, right.
But you're purposely putting that in your spirit.
Okay. I support it.
Yeah. I also try and get really Kanye West with my affirmations. Just really self-affirming.
I am the greatest woman that ever
stepped
foot. Yeah,
I am a god, honey. Yeah, it's really these croissants.
Oh, gosh. Not Kanye.
And just make it very personal.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Make it in your voice.
Yeah,
talk about
true.
Goals you want to accomplish and talk about them like they're already done. Don't say, I want to do this. Like, say, like, this
is
done. Like, it's a wrap. So start your day. Like, set your tone how you want it. Don't let the world set your tone.
All
you
right.
set the tone. Come
all
on.
Right.
I'm about to preach, girl.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Okay, so I'm going to take it down a couple notches with my rave slash review.
Mama will be so proud of that sermon. But
yes, I love it. So I am raving slash reviewing, and I'm talking about Glassdoor, which is a job listing slash company profile salary sort of hub of information. It's glassdoor.com. And they host everything from, again, job listings to profiles about various companies to actual salaries against roles. And recaps of interviews. People will go there and rate their interview experience anonymously. So it's a really great hub of information. But as we think about kind of the path, I'm really raving about Glassdoor in the capacity of visualizing the kind of culture I wanted to work in and the kind of places I saw myself in life and in my career. And then having Glassdoor as kind of like a resource to kind of do some digging and some research. So one of the most useful tools for me when I was doing my big kind of job hunt 2.5 years ago was the company review feature of Glassdoor. So I could like go on there and search like Deloitte in New York City, just making that up. And I could see what people, real employees thought about the culture, how they rated the leadership philosophy, the growth mobility and opportunities to advance, you know, a whole bunch of different criteria. And obviously, the larger the company, the more reviews you have available to browse through.
Yeah.
But I would read them and I would take that information, of course, coupled with my own research, my informational interviews, and then obviously like also a grain of salt at like, maybe this person doesn't work here anymore.
Think about
so they're
it like
bitter.
A Yelp review.
Yes.
Like, you can tell if a Yelp user is just like an
angry.
Right?
Yes.
You walked in the establishment mat. So think it that way.
Exactly. So you take it with a grain of salt, but it all helps to build into the pot of this like profile you're building around a company. And then another tool that I really loved and used quite often was the salary tool. So I could look up my exact job title or function at a specific company, or I could do research and look at that job title across a number of different companies in different industries. I could see what people were making, the range. And then I could come up with my own competitive number, you know, add a little bit to it. But at least I knew I wasn't far off or just completely creating something made up. And both for me at the time, it was both salary and culture that were kind of shaping and building where I saw myself and kind of like what I wanted the next chapter of my career to look like. Yeah. So I love Glassdoor as a tool for that. If you guys have used it, definitely let me know how you use it. But yeah, highly recommend it.
Yeah, I love it as well. Diving a little bit deeper into this idea of your path, I want to share. Hi, Sydney. She's mad because I always use her job loss content.
Oh, you do?
Your whole life is eligible for content in my life. But
basically.
Everyone, you're warned. But she recently posted this Facebook post of like pictures when she was really young. I want to say like in grade school.
Okay.
And she had all the like pamphlets and brochures to be like over education for a dance program.
Hmm.
And she is now like the director of education at a dance company.
Look at that.
And I was thinking, and I told her at work, I was like, I'm so jealous of people who just know, like are born and they just know what they want to
do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, were you one of those people who just knew what you wanted to do?
No. So, yes, as in at different stages of my life, I wanted to be different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it in those moments, but it always changed.
Yeah.
So what I've ended up doing doesn't really look like or isn't reflective of what I thought I'd be doing. So when I was a kid, I was always creative. I was drawing, like my dad said, on the Minnesota, I just loved art and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I wanted to be like an artist for a while. And then this was like when I was really young. I didn't even know what an artist was or what they really did. And then when I got older, I think was just trying to sound really smart. So I would say I wanted to be a neurosurgeon. The minute you find the vocabulary word that describes something that makes you sound fancy, you're like, I want to be a neurosurgeon. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, Jean-Marie. Wow, that's impressive. Meanwhile, the medical field is not for me because
yeah.
I do not like school.
Yeah.
And then as I got older, like high school, getting into high school, the law thing stuck for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And even to this day, my parents are like, you should do something with legal because you're just very research-based, but also love to argue and write. As I got older, I started designing websites for fun with Aaron, which we talked about in one of the very early episodes. And then I just discovered this whole like web design side of me and this ability to kind of program and write code. So I was like, oh, I want to be like a designer, but I don't want to do art because I want to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And I have like some of the tech background. Then I went to school and became a designer and worked as one, and I didn't like it. I realized I liked it as a hobby, not as a profession. So now it's, you know, it's morphed. I did some things in advertising, but the answer is no. Like, I just kind of dabbled in things and figured out. I feel like I've used, like, process of elimination to figure out what I don't like and then kept moving forward.
Yeah, because she asked me, she was like, so how did you find this job? Like, how did you figure out what you wanted to do? And I think it was very much, like, kind of feeling my way through it and bumping into things and then realizing, oh, what I thought wasn't what it was.
Yes.
In retrospect, I look back, and it was always, I mean, it makes sense when you look back on it, because growing up, I always wanted to do things that revolved around communication. So, like, I wanted to be a news anchor, and then I wanted to be a writer, and then I, you know, got out there, and then I tried, like you, I tried, like, freelance writing.
Yes, hated it.
So, it's like, okay, how can I mix this and match it with something else? I always was really good at computers, and then the digital aspect of communications came in. So, it's kind of like melding and merging and trying different things together and different combinations.
And it's interesting because at certain stages in your life, you need to know the answer. Like for college, when you pick your degree, right?
Yes.
You need to know an answer, but know that it's okay for that answer to change and for you to kind of pursue one thing and then totally change it up and realize you don't like it and do something else.
Yeah, because, I mean, as long as you're in the neighborhood.
Yes.
Like, it's easy. Like, so it's harder if you're like denying yourself, like, oh, I'm a pre-med major, and you really just want to be all the way over here in this creative design field.
Exactly.
So you kind of have to be kind of real with yourself.
Right.
Like, what are your strengths?
Right.
What are these desires that I can't quite place? And then just try to put yourself in the neighborhood.
Right.
So you can find it.
Right. So, but to me, that's like where you get into figuring out the skills and competencies that shape what you are good at and might want to think about pursuing professionally. So, you know, I think for me, that was a huge distinction coming out of college is like, I no longer chase job titles because titles are deceiving. I chase things that I know I'm drawn to and that I like. So I don't anymore say I want to be like a marketer or I want to be, you know, in advertising or a graphic designer, because what do those things even mean?
Yeah.
But I know that I love working with people. And when I say working with people, I need to connect with the end consumer of the work that I'm doing behind a computer. So in my roles, I get to actually go to events and work with small business owners that are impacted by the programs I'm creating in the office. And to me, that's important, that connection to actually see my work kind of manifest. And then also, like, I know I need projects that change all the time.
Me too.
All the time.
I get bored very easily.
So it's like learning things about yourself, seeing what you respond to.
What kind of work?
Exactly. I know I'm organized. I know I communicate clearly and all of that. And those are great skills and competencies, but it's also like figuring out what you're drawn to and love to do and what kind of things give you fulfillment and passion. And a really great book that I read that kind of helped me to map all of those things out and make sense of it was What Color Is Your Parachute?
I've heard great things about that
book. They update it every year. But the first half of it is it's called What Color Is Your Parachute? A Practical Manual for Job Hunters and Career Changers. But there are a couple of chapters towards the back that really make you write out your preferences, your values, what things, what words describe feelings that make you happy.
That's perfect, because as you were talking, I was thinking about how, like, our commonalities is that you really kind of have to stop and do some self-reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Like, analyze yourself.
Yes.
Like, don't just go forward and never look back. Like,
exactly.
Take a pause.
Exactly. Because, you know, I might have said I wanted to be a neurosurgeon, but very soon with time, I realized I don't like science and I don't like being in school and having these complex projects and learning equations. And like, I don't like that. None of that makes me happy and I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
So if you don't ever stop to audit and be like, here's the word I said or here's what I vocalized that I want to do, but when I look at my behaviors and how I feel, I don't actually like doing those things, then you'll never know to kind of reel it back in and try something else.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So pivoting, like, okay, the path to get to here, when you're plotting the future, like, how strategic are you? Like, do you have a 5-year plan?
I don't. So I've talked about this.
Because I was asked this. I was, like, just talking to someone and a little bit older than me in their field. And they were like, well, what's your 5-year plan? I'm just like, I hadn't taken the time to, like, plot that out.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I don't have one. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I know a lot of very successful people who do.
Mm-hmm.
And they work with mentors, and it's a good kind of pole to align their dialogue around, because they can go into those discussions and say, well, I want to get here or I want to get here.
Mm-hmm.
My roommate, who actually happens to be a coworker of mine at the same company, told me something interesting. She told me that one of her colleagues is currently in a manager position, but has expressed interest in becoming a director. And so when she has conversations with her supervisor, her VP, her conversations are all centered around that and getting from the manager point to the director point 2 years out.
Ooh.
2 years out, right? Because that's a huge promotion. So they're talking about what projects do you need to be working on?
Yeah.
What kind of, who do you need to be having conversations with? Who do I need to start introducing you to 2 years out? And that really resonated with me because, like, for me at that point, that's like, okay, yes, if I want to be a director at this company in X period of time, I do need to put that out into the universe and start creating action plans. But in my own life, I struggle with that. Like, if I was asked, what's your five-year plan? I could make up something that sounds intelligent.
Right.
But I don't know that in my heart I believe it because I kind of like having room to play. As long as directionally I know when I put one foot in front of the other, I'm working on the type of work that's continuing to kind of build me up and push me in, like, a progressive direction.
Yeah, I feel that. And I did a five-year plan after that silence kind of read me during the conversation. And I found that, like, I couldn't get that specific as, like, in 2 years I want to be a director. But I very much, it was just like, how do I want my life to look like? Like, and the position, there's, like, wiggle room in what the position is, what the company is.
Yes.
But it's like, okay, this is, like, what I want to be doing with my time.
Yes.
This is kind of what I want my family life to look like. This is the location. Mm. This is, like, there was, like, some investment ideas that I had thought about on the back burner that I was like, by then I really want to be able to have an action point on this. So I think just having, knowing a general direction of where you want to go, it doesn't have to be super specific, but just knowing, like, okay, what am I working toward helps a lot.
I agree fully. And I mean, I haven't done it. I can't tell a lie to y'all, but you know, when you were speaking, Diane von Furstenberg says something, DVS said something in her book, The Woman I Wanted to Be. She says, I did not know what I wanted to do, but I knew the type of woman I wanted to be. And that's me. That's how I feel, is like, I know what I want my life to look like, and I know what kind of impact I want to have too on my community around me. Something else you said too, like, about thinking about the whole life, I think is so important, because I think it's very easy to create plans around your career, but it has to be a life plan. And to me, that's why, like, job logs is so important and doing things outside of work, because I don't rely on any one facet to give me the satisfaction. It can't be, like, just the romantic life that builds up your whole life, you know, or just the career that builds up your whole life. You have to derive happiness from all of
pillars,
those things.
Yeah. That make up the foundation.
Exactly. And there you go. Come on.
Imagery for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. I want to close it out, bring it back, past, future. We dealing with it right now.
Wait, can I pause, though?
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're both really creative, but I feel like I do have to acknowledge and recognize that if your field is, like, medicine, like we were talking about, or law, you do need a really solid plan.
Yeah, and I'm actually kind of jealous of those professions that it's like, once you get into that path, it's kind of more regimented.
Yeah.
And so you
Because you're in school for at least 8 years or whatever.
So
more than that.
Yeah, and I think those fields being in that more strict, regimented feel, it fosters that type of thinking too.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
I feel like sometimes a creative folk, you gotta wrangle
That's
those
hard.
People in.
Yeah. Like, we be all over the place.
Yeah, bless our
all
parents'
over
hearts.
The place.
But yeah, as I was saying, like, dealing with right now, is there anxiety around kind of not knowing? Because I know you said, like, you don't plan that specifically when you're doing your goals for long term. But is there anxiety about, like, what's happening now? Because I know I have to really check myself and just kind of taking one day at a time a little bit and kind of embracing that there's going to be surprises, like allowing room for surprises, be like, okay, I don't know everything that's going to happen. And, like, what I'm doing now is probably setting myself up for something I can't even see right now.
Right.
So trusting the process
is
something I'm drilling into myself.
Yes. No, I don't have anxiety. I don't have anxiety. I am diligent in being prayerful about my future, though, because I do believe in, like, divine favor and, like, certain opportunities that you could never plan or prep for coming into your life for a reason. And I believe in purpose in the work that I do.
Yes.
I don't fear the future, but I do fear becoming complacent. So I do fear getting to a point where it's like, oh, I have a great job and I make a good amount of money and I'm comfortable in my lifestyle.
Yeah.
especially in New York City, which is just like, to me, bachelor capital of the world. You could just get so comfortable in this like roommate life, you know, and I don't know, working really hard, but coming home and failing in those other areas in terms of if a family is your priority or if other projects outside of work are a priority. So to me, I do fear complacency. And so I am asking myself now, like, is this where I should be at this time? Should I be more open to opportunities in other cities, maybe even abroad?
Yeah.
Things like that. Just making sure I'm always kind of getting uncomfortable, like not ever being too comfortable in what I'm doing.
Yeah. I think it's just this middle ground between being strategic and then just being able to release and go with the flow.
Yeah.
I know I love hearing people's career paths because rarely, and not even just like celebrity people, but if you talk to someone who's very senior in their career, a lot of times they're like, I did not plan on being here.
And another, what about you? I mean, are you, do you have anxiety about the future? And
I think I think a lot. So sometimes I just want, and I mean, that's good in a sense because it keeps me kind of on point in the sense of in not getting complacent about things, but it's also, like, you got to check that stuff at the door, like, sometimes. Like, you can think yourself into a tizzy. And but life is life. Like, things are going to pop up that you didn't think about.
Yeah.
And being open enough that I can be outside of my head to recognize that something's an opportunity.
Yeah, that's true.
Because sometimes you're, like, so busy here. You don't even see. It's like,
hey, girl. Somebody keeps poking you, like, hey, I'm just trying to get in there with this opportunity.
Just trying to give you
over
that.
Here. That's true.
That's true. Okay, we're shaking it up a little bit, shaking the table with Game Time.
Game Time.
Yes,
I'm scared.
We're gonna do a little Job Logs Jeopardy. Is that trademarked?
Okay.
A Jeopardy-esque situation.
All right.
I love those posts on social media where they tell you like the weird paths to success that people take, like the unlikely success stories.
Oh yeah.
So I've compiled a few.
Okay.
And I'm gonna share some unlikely paths to success. Joy, you'll guess these once hopeless cases who became pillars of wealth and prestige.
Okay.
So the first one. This pop culture icon grew up on a farm in Indiana. He dropped out of school in the seventh grade. He served in the Army and spent his life working odd jobs selling everything from insurance to tires.
Insurance. Okay.
He did not become a professional chef until he was 40 years old. And he sold his first restaurant location at a loss and was living off his monthly Social Security check until he sold the rights to his franchise in his early 60s. you can give a hint?
Yes. Can I? Do I have a lifeline?
I would say Southern.
Southern chef, restaurateur.
Chef might be giving him a lot.
Okay.
Smooché.
Restaurateur.
Kind of a fast food.
Colonel Sanders?
Colonel Sanders!
That's insane. My mind was not even going there. You know who I was thinking of? I was like, it can't be Marcus Samuel then.
That's
or
why
like
I said lower.
Danny Meyer.
Lower.
Oh, wow, Colonel Sanders.
He was way broke until like his 60s.
Wow, 60s. I love that because I think so often when we think about our paths, you know, you want that gratification of like the next 5 years. And so it takes
it's 10, a long game sometimes.
20 years sometimes. All right. Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right, I'm feeling warmed up.
Okay.
I feel like I got the next one.
Okay, this one. Okay, I think you'll get this one.
Okay.
This media mogul wore overalls made from potato sacks.
Wow.
That earned her the nickname Sack Girl.
Sack Girl? Oh, gosh.
If that's not depressing enough, she had pet cockroaches and a doll made out of dried corn on the cob.
Girl, where? I don't even know where we are right now.
Okay, fast forward. She overcame that adversity to become an honor student, but things took a turn when she was fired from her first gig.
Oprah.
Oprah! Radio.
What's the rest of it?
She was fired from her first gig as a TV anchor.
Ah.
Yes.
You want to know how I know?
Hyena.
I did a 40-page paper on Oprah in high school.
Yes.
And I love that about her.
Yeah. And I love that one of my favorite things about Oprah's story is that she bet on herself when she got the Oprah show. Like, a lot of her money comes from is because she has, like, the syndication rights to her show. And they were like, they gave it to her for nothing because they were like, oh, girl, this show is not
a little piece of trash, girl. You could have that.
Right.
Meanwhile, she like, all
right. Right. Okay.
I love it. Okay, cool.
Let's do
cool.
More. Let's stay in the media space.
Okay.
Now one of the most recognizable names in media, this powerhouse was rejected by 36 major publishers. Her first foray in digital media was immediately greeted with dozens of negative reviews criticizing the quality and potential of her website.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I get?
That's all I get.
A website.
And like it's on your Facebook feed every day. News. Fake news. Think pieces.
Really? Melissa
her name, Harris Perry? Her name is a part of the site.
Her name is a part of the site and she's news and people share it?
Yeah.
I cannot think right now. Yeah.
Ariana Huffington.
Oh my gosh. How could I forget? Yeah. It was like literally no one else has their name on a news site.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that.
Like, wait. Go back.
She wrote books and she was rejected by 36 publishers.
Wow.
And when she started the Huffington Post, like, of course, you know, old media, they were like, nobody saw it for the site.
Okay.
At all.
I love this.
Cool. Okay. One more. We'll do one more.
Okay.
This poor gentleman only sold one painting the entire time he was alive, which wouldn't be so bad if he hadn't spent his life painting over 900 works of art.
Picasso?
Now he's considered one of the greatest artists of all time.
It's Picasso.
He has trouble hearing.
Oh, Vincent Van Gogh.
Yes, darling.
I definitely went to his museum in Amsterdam, too. Y'all, I'm a mess. That's amazing. He sold one.
One.
In his lifetime.
In his life.
Y'all
one.
Is your dedication so strong that you are willing to succeed past your lifetime? That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's dedication.
Wow. Okay. I love this.
Game time. Yes. All right, Ask Job Logs. It's that time where we open the floor to you.
Yes.
We love hearing your questions, so let us know if you have one. Submit it at joblogs.com/askjoblogs.
Mm-hmm. And we have one today from Anonymous. So they say, hello. What is the minimum amount of time you should stay at an internship out of consideration? I just started a summer internship about 3 weeks ago, and the work I'm doing is not what I expected it to be. I don't feel challenged, fulfilled, or like I'm learning anything I can apply to a future career or job. It's gotten to the point where I dread waking up every morning and I just want to quit. Am I obligated to stay the whole summer just so I'm not a jerk who leaves a paid internship after getting trained for 2 weeks? Is this a situation in which I should make the most of it and suck it up? If I can quit, should I still give 2 weeks notice, even if it's just an internship? Thank you, and I really appreciate your opinion.
If you do quit, you should give 2 weeks. Girl, yes. But this is hard because I've had one of those parents who was very adamant about, like, if you start something, you finish it.
Yes.
Especially
an
internship.
I agree with your parent.
Yeah. So it's like you took the internship. It ends at a point. Finish the internship.
A finite point. And you're 3 weeks in. That's also what struck me. You didn't hear that?
I missed that.
There was training for 2 weeks and you're 3 weeks in. So, yeah, stick it out. It's an internship. Also, if you're dreading waking up and feeling like you're not learning anything, change your perspective because the great thing about internships is learning what you also don't like. So use it as an opportunity to take note of the things that are just not sitting well with you. Like, this isn't challenging enough. I'm not working with people. Start to really maybe journal or document what those things are that aren't really sitting right with you about the experience and use that as fuel when you apply to another internship or job.
I love that. And like, girl is paid. So,
Is it paid?
It's paid. Like, get that money. Like, so are you gonna go and a last minute job would be like at Best Buy? No shade to Best Buy, but like, at least here you can, like Joy said, like explore and learn something from your career.
Yeah, that is the whole point of internships.
It is.
So just take it for what it's worth. Don't quit, especially if it's just a finite 10 weeks or something close to that. Stick it out.
Yeah, because I mean, at the very least, like, you have something to put on your resume that makes you more attractive for the next opportunity.
Let me tell you, if you quit an internship prematurely, it will not bode well for your professional reputation.
Especially if it's in, like, the same industry. People know each other.
Yeah, don't do it.
Stick it out.
All right.
All right, next up we have Vanicia.
Oh, Vanicia. She photographed our improv brunch.
Oh my gosh. I love you, girl. So she says, under what circumstances is it okay to settle for an opportunity you aren't necessarily passionate about? And since you lack passion for it, what other ways can you motivate yourself to push through it? She can learn a little bit from our last answer when we talk about, like, drawing lessons.
Yes, exactly. So I would say most of us as young professionals do have to accept opportunities we're not passionate about at one time or another. And that's because you need those as stepping stones to get to that other end game, that the dream job or the job that you would truly be passionate about. So I would say the context where it's okay is when it's teaching you skills you need to develop, teaching you things you don't like even, so that you can just cross those out as you move forward. Or, like, helping expand your network, helping to put you in the right space or industry to get connected with other people, or just paying the bills.
I was going to say, when she said under what circumstances it is the rent due.
Yes.
Because that's a fabulous reason.
That is a very real circumstance. So, I mean, I think there are so many scenarios where you would take a role you're not passionate about.
Yeah. So I think if on the surface it looks unattractive, just think about how can I leverage this and to reach another goal or something else.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I'm sure there's something in there. And then weigh the pros and cons based on that.
Yeah. And if you can do that, if you know that a opportunity you're working, you're not passionate about, but if you know that there's an end game or it's helping you to get somewhere else, you could put a time frame on that. You can say, I'm going to stay in the space where I'm working something.
That's the fabulous thing about taking jobs. They're not forever.
Yes.
They're not.
Yes.
You can leave at any time.
Yes, and that hopefully can help you get through your days and kind of help knowing that you have an end game and goal you're working towards. So good luck, girl. Keep us posted. We've got one last question here. Hi, Joy Marie and Courtney. I'm a young professional looking to change my career and finally do things I actually want to be doing. Podcasts have been one of my biggest interests for over 5 years now, and I finally found the courage to start my own podcast when I started listening to your podcast last Monday, starting with episode one, The Time We Made a Podcast. It inspired me to finally get on it and hopefully make it into a career. Now, with the prologue out of the way, I was wondering how I should start the process of getting a professional podcast together. My podcast will be about the examination of rules, their origin, and whether they belong in present-day society.
Interesting.
Yeah, really. I want to ensure that when I publish it, it's professional, and I'm going to need the help of organizations such as Earwolf, NPR, BBC, etc., but it's all about getting started, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a Canadian currently living in London, UK. Thank you very much.
Oh, awesome.
Well, greetings and good day from across the pond. I love our UK listeners.
Yeah, I love that idea. And I love that you already said, like, I just want to get started, even though I know I want to, the long game, I want to bring in these partners. But get started. I know, like, we have friends who talk about wanting to start a podcast. And a lot of it is like, yeah, I want the professional studio. But you know what? Right now, I just got a mic and this laptop.
Exactly.
Go get it.
Do it. Get started. Don't let that stuff get in the way of you creating it. But I love also that you already have kind of an end game in mind, the types of partnerships you want to work with. We can relate to that because we always knew you were creating a professional podcast. And we knew we wanted to work with professional corporations and people. So for us, quality was always important. Now, that's not to say you need to go to a studio like we do, but think about that audio quality, because if people can't hear what you're saying, sometimes they tune out. So, you know, there are at-home solutions you can explore. They're really affordable things. Definitely not an audio professional, but if you do a little bit of digging online, you can find some ways to make sure you have great sound quality. And then another thing we do is we take a lot of time and research, even though, like, our content is really conversational and kind of fun, mm-hmm. we do a lot of pre-work from who's the right guest for the dialogue to what are the segments.
I think it's being strategic, like not just jumping on the microphone and talking. And it sounds like you're doing something very nuanced that requires research anyway.
Yes.
So I think it's see who's in your network. Like, or do you have writers in your network or someone with a news background? And kind of talk about, like, story structure and how you, like, what is an episode? How do you tell a story in the set amount of time that you have?
Yeah, because the other piece is, like, think about who your audience is. Mm-hmm. And this applies to anything, not just people thinking about podcasts. But, you know, who's your audience, and then what's the best way to get your message across to that audience?
Yeah, so, where are they?
Yeah, so even though it's like a highly researched, nuanced kind of topic, if you're talking to toddlers, you're not going to deliver that the same way mm-hmm. you would if you were talking to like academic intellectuals and professors and things like that.
Yeah.
So think about the delivery.
Yeah, and delivery not just of the message in the podcast, but when you distribute it, like think about the outlets that you're going to reach out to. Think about maybe online and influencers that maybe you'll send an email of an introduction. Right. And say, this is what I'm working on.
Right.
And that's a great way to build listeners and a community.
Yeah, that's huge. And that's kind of where we are right now. It's like, you can create great content, but how do you get it out there? Mm-hmm. So think also about it's probably going to be equal parts creation and marketing and pushing your episodes out. So good luck. You know, stay organized. Treat it like you would a job. Be methodical. Be process-driven and structured. But also leave room and flexibility to change and evolve as you figure things out.
And shoot for excellence in every aspect. Like from the thumbnail that goes next to the podcast to like the episode summaries. Mm. Like excellent.
Yes.
Proofread all of
this.
All right, ladies and gents, the hiring manager's office is open.
Yes.
And we are giving out hiring and termination papers, hired and fired. When we pick people out in that pop culture world who are really just doing the thing and some who are not quite up to par.
Get them out.
So what's happening, Joy? Are we hiring or are we firing?
I am hiring.
Yes.
I am in a great mood. It's summertime. Got some incremental budget. So we are bringing people onto the team. I am hiring Ava DuVernay.
My absolute fave.
Yes, your
fave. I love her so
much. Admittedly, I have not followed much of her career. I do not know much about her. I know she is iconic, and I know that she is very vocal about issues of diversity in Hollywood.
And she slayed our life at Essence Fest.
Exactly. And so when I saw her at Essence Fest, it was a fireside chat with Melissa Harris Perry. Mm-hmm. And she was there really, I think, to talk about her upcoming project, Queen Sugar, which was filmed
great.
In New Orleans. Mm-hmm. It's going to be debuting on OWN in a couple of weeks, I think. But if for those of you who are unfamiliar, she was the director behind Selma, the legendary film. But she also does a lot of other work in film distribution through a company she calls Array, which is really African-American film distribution with a focus on women as well.
Yes.
So she, you know, she's made her mark. Many of you listening, I'm sure, are wildly familiar. But I have to say, from hearing her speak at Essence Fest, two things really stood out to me that tie really well back to our whole idea of the path and hearing about the journey that people go on to get to their success. So one, her team, when she was talking about Queen Sugar, the upcoming project, it just struck me that she had the entire, like, cast there with her.
Oh, yeah.
Had them stand up, shouted out some of them by name, talked about just kind of the dynamic of working with all of them. And I thought about it because, you know, and a couple episodes ago, we had a dialogue with the Google group about relationships that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Too many of us don't share those people that really kind of propel us and drive us to success. And the team around us that helps us build what we're working on. And we can't succeed on our own. Like, you're more powerful with a bunch of different forces around you. So I loved that. And then, two, the thing that really stood out with me was that she was really candid about maintaining a full-time job when she first made her foray into directing.
Yeah.
So to quote, she said, "I saw people directing, white men directing, and I said, I want to do that. Little by little, I didn't give up my day job for the dream I had. People say, I have a dream and I want it right now. But it's okay to do it little by little. The first film I made was check to check. The first five films I made, I still had my day job. In fact, she didn't quit her job until Selma." So that
Crazy.
Really, that stood out to me because so many people are like, pursue your dreams and forget the man and go after what you're passionate about. But like that level of realism and just showing that you can balance both and you can make that day job an
pragmatic
investor in your dreams. With an action plan and kind of do things the way you need to. And also the fact that like Selma was a couple years ago. So, you know, she's older. And I think we talked about this earlier. A lot of times we think like you want to see that success in a year or 2 years or 5 years. But sometimes it takes 10.
Right.
Sometimes it takes 20.
That's so real. And if you pay attention, like a lot of these people, because, you know, black don't crack. So you get you think that a lot of these people are so young and like they're in their 30s, like sometimes 40s, like just like getting their break or like blowing
up.
The glow up is real.
Like, it is.
Hang in there.
It is. So you are hired. Come on over to the money team, girl.
I love you so much. Well, Joy, thank you for joining me on the pod.
Courtney, thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up.
Great episode.
Yes.
I hope you guys, you know, could have some takeaways. I think we're all in it together.
We are.
We're just trying to get through.
We are. We're right alongside y'all. So thank y'all for listening. If you are in the Philadelphia area, I will be speaking at the Young Professionals Brunch Series at Temple University on September 10th. We're going to be talking about slaying your interview. So if you're interested in attending and can make it, cop your tickets at typbrunchseries.com.
Yes. And if you love the show, tell us. Tell the people
Please
you love
do.
That you love them. Rate us on iTunes. That really helps us kind of spread the show to new people.
Exactly.
And just kind of, you know, warms our hearts.
It's all about being in it together.
Yes.
So we love that. And if you want more, you can always connect with us around the web at Joblogs. Check out joblogs.com. Amazing content, resources, information to help you on your professional journey. You can always also directly connect with Courtney or I. Mm-hmm. I'm Hey Miss Parker.
And I'm Cleve Out Loud.
See ya.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.